Hey moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 26-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart. It's a devotional written specifically for homeschool moms. If you enjoyed The Unhurried Homeschooler, I encourage you to check out The 4-Hour School Day. It's kind of like an expanded version of The Unhurried Homeschooler. I'd also want to let you know you can find those books at Amazon.com. You can find them at my website, DorendaWilson.com. Or you can find The 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers in addition to the two places that I mentioned. I also want to let you know that I am only doing one podcast a week during the month of October. I gave a little update earlier in the month, so if you didn't get to hear that, please go back and listen and you'll understand why I had to cut things down just a little bit, needed to streamline this month. But in the meantime, I would love for you to listen to episodes that you haven't heard or want to revisit. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 episodes that I have done, and they are on my website. But the best part is that there is a search bar at the top of the list of episodes on my podcast page on my website. So you can put any keyword in there: discipline, high schoolers, struggling learners, ADHD, whatever you need to hear about and be encouraged in, put that in the search bar, and the episodes that have those things in them will come up. So I encourage you to do that during the month of October. I also want to let you know that I have an online mentoring course. Some of you may not know that. But in this mentoring course, I encourage moms to simplify, slow down, and enjoy their homeschool days with confidence and courage. This online mentoring course will include workshops that help moms grasp what unhurried homeschooling looks like during each of their children's developmental stages, along with lists of resources that I've found helpful over the years. The videos can be watched whenever it works for you. The course also includes extra workshops on mom self-care and nurturing your marriage throughout the homeschool years. I encourage you to go check out this budget-friendly video online course. And then last but certainly not least, I would love for you to check out Homeschooling Today, which is my favorite homeschooling magazine. And I'd love for you to just listen in for just a minute for a few more details on that. When it comes to homeschooling, isn't it discouraging to see so much on social media that simply doesn't match your reality? Life is messy. Kids can be exhausting. School doesn't always go as planned. Sometimes we all need some real encouragement, some real, truly practical help. That's one of the reasons I write for Homeschooling Today magazine. The entire team at Homeschooling Today wants you to know that messy, exhausting, imperfect homeschooling is an incredibly beautiful thing because it's real life as we take an unhurried, bold approach to homeschooling our kids. An approach that says, I won't compare my homeschool to others. I'll teach the kids God has given me in the way that He leads me to do it. I want to encourage you to check out Homeschooling Today magazine. It is an amazing resource for the unhurried homeschooling mom. Okay, so since Halloween is just around the corner, I thought today would be a great time to talk about it, right? I actually did a podcast with Heidi St. John years ago discussing the Halloween controversies. I have seen people handle their differences regarding this holiday graciously, and I've seen others practically let it destroy their relationships, which I think is absolutely unnecessary. You know, every family chooses their own way to approach Halloween. You know, sometimes it's a long-held tradition. Sometimes it's a hodgepodge of tradition along with wherever you are in the season of life and maybe adding in new traditions, or it could be a completely new thing. It can be one of those things that just sort of evolves over the years like it did for us. And so I thought it would be fun to tell the story of how our family traditions surrounding Halloween started and evolved over the years. And as you can probably already tell, I've invited a guest on to also talk about it with me. It's our 20-year-old, she is our... She's our 20-year-old daughter. She is number 7 in the lineup, but she's going to share her perspective as well on how this all played out. So any thoughts on Halloween to start with? Like if you had kids right now, what would you do?
Knowing like the history of the of where Halloween came from, I'm like not a huge fan of Halloween, but I know that there are things that you guys did for us to make it kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And it was always fun getting to eat candy because we didn't get a lot of sweets when we were younger. And right. I was like, yes. but dressing up was kind of fun. But, you know, I kind of was like, I can dress up all year round. Why would I just do it on one day?
Right,
like
right.
I had a dress up box when I was little. I could be a princess any day I wanted to be a princess.
But can you dress up and get candy?
See, no. See, that's another thing.
Got it.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Are you thinking you might just let it sort of unfold?
Yeah, just kind of unfold. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like some of our traditions. Like we watched that, what was that movie called?
Okay. Okay, it's called Francis the Talking Mule. It's like from the 40s. Okay, so I guess we should probably back up a little bit and tell our family story.
Yeah, we should just go from there.
So at the very beginning, when we started having kids, I was like, I don't care about Halloween. It's not a big deal to me. I don't really care. And I know there's families out there who have like some really great memories of Halloween. And mm-hmm. so they're like, is it wrong to, you know, to participate somehow in Halloween? Like, what does it really mean to celebrate Halloween? Are we actually celebrating? Are we honoring the holiday and all of its pagan roots by letting our kids dress up and collect candy? You know, like, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure at the very beginning. So, but I did know one thing, because I tried to like picture what would it look like if we're going to participate. And I didn't really care about dressing up and mm-hmm. getting my kids dressed up, especially when they were really little. What a pain. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. So I decided I was just going to skip it. Then I had to decide, am I going to open the door and hand out candy? You know, because that's the tradition. But I decided against that as well, because my concern was that I would open that door and I had no control over what my little children would see standing in the doorway. And I decided it was not worth it. And my mom instinct said, no, at this point in time, just protect them from all of that. And so that's what we decided to do. Mm-hmm. So then at one point, I had just come home from the hospital. So we had no real traditions surrounding that holiday. We just really didn't even acknowledge it. I don't think we were even doing any kind of harvest parties at this point because all the kids were very little. So when we had our fifth, our oldest was, I think, around 8. Mm-hmm. And so I had a C-section, and we kind of lived in a neighborhood, and we were way up on a hill by ourselves. So I just didn't even think about the fact that Halloween was right around the corner after I got home from the hospital. So he was born the 27th of October. You know, 2-3 days later, I come home. So I'd barely been home for very long, had, you know, 5 kids, 8 and under. And all of a sudden, one evening, you know, I didn't realize it was Halloween because we just didn't pay attention. My husband was gone, and all of a sudden, I saw children coming up the driveway dressed up. And I thought, gosh, I don't have anything to give them because, you know, I don't buy candy, so I didn't have anything to hand out. So I was just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Okay, shut off all the lights, gathered the kids, hid in a bedroom with all of these children and this newborn. And that's kind of how our tradition started.
And then you were like, let's just watch a movie because that's a great way to distract little kids, right?
Right. So I said, okay, I can't keep them in this room forever and not mm-hmm. do something. So yes, I just picked a random movie that I knew was safe. Well, Francis the Talking Mule, very safe from the 40s. And I made some treats, and that's what we ended up doing. And we ended up doing that for years that.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids seemed to really enjoy it. They didn't feel like they missed out on anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point, I think we went into, you know, we started doing some harvest parties at church and some mm-hmm. things like mm-hmm. that. So not a huge acknowledgement of the actual holiday, but definitely some traditions starting mm-hmm.
And we
that.
Carved jack-o'-lanterns.
Yes, yes. that's kind of an interesting, that's got kind of an interesting background, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The term jack-o'-lantern was a name for lantern-carrying night watchmen in England in the 1600s. And by the 1800s, it had come to mean a carved pumpkin used as a lantern, which may have evolved from ancient rituals using lanterns, folk tales involving spirits who carried lanterns, or young pranksters who carved scary faces into pumpkins. So that's kind of a little bit of the history of the jack-o'-lantern. And so some people do choose not to do that,
mm-hmm.
but tell what your friend's family did.
So my really good friend, she had a cool tradition, and I'd actually never heard this before. We were actually talking about this podcast that I was going to do with you, and I was like, well, what did you do? You know, because everybody did something different.
Right.
And she's like, well, one thing my mom always did is we would get a pumpkin, and we would always carve the jack-o'-lantern, but she would tell the same story every year, that we are like the jack-o'-lanterns, and God carves us out and gets rid of all the nasty stuff and turns us into something beautiful and puts his light inside of us, which I thought was just really sweet. And I'd never heard that before.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And she dressed up, but it was like she went out collecting candy on the family property where all the relatives lived.
The family lived, yeah. So it was very safe.
Right. And there's so many different options now that are actually safer than trudging through a dark neighborhood with your children. The other thing, this is terrible, but as a kid, I had seen some episode or part of an episode of a show where the kids went trick-or-treating and somebody put like a razor blade in the apple that they gave the kid. And I was like, I'm not going to let my children be anywhere near anybody who could do it, because I don't know who these people are. So there was that part of it too. I just was like, everything in me was like, yeah, let's just not do this.
That whole rule when we were younger of don't take candy from strangers, except for on Halloween.
Except for Halloween. Take
candy from all the strangers that you don't know. I'm like, that doesn't seem like right. We need to keep some consistency here.
Right. And so I think that's where, you know, I think the fun of dressing up and getting candy, there's so many alternatives now. There's lot of churches have harvest parties and things like that. And, you know, it's not essential that we celebrate the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some people who are very convicted about, I don't want anything to do with this holiday, and here's why. You should stand on that conviction. But at the same time, I feel like maybe someone who's in a different place in their journey doesn't need to be berated because they choose something different. I feel like the best way to handle that situation, in my opinion, would be not say why we don't celebrate Halloween unless somebody asks.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, yeah, we just kind of skip over that holiday. And, you know, maybe they'll say, well, why? And then you can tell them graciously what your convictions are. But I think that Christians can be super, super, super judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Halloween, I know people who open their door, maybe their kids are older, I don't know, it's up to them, it's their decision, but they make it a time to just love on these kids who come to their door. They give them not just sugar and treats, but they also give them like age-appropriate tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know where those are going to end up, those evangelizing. They're usually very simple and straightforward. The kid could come home, toss it off to the wayside. Mom or dad could see it at a moment when they really need to see it. So there's so many different perspectives on this. And so I feel like it's really important that we are careful not to assume anything because someone dresses up their children. They're Christians. They dress up their children and they take them through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And again, lots of great alternatives like our little downtown area. All the businesses hand out candy. So instead of going through neighborhoods, you can just go through these businesses. You know it's safe, and there's tons of other little kids, and it's really fun. I love seeing the little kids all dressed up.
Or like the nieces and nephews.
Yes.
They come to our house,
right,
and they go see the firefighters. And that's really the extent of their trick-or-treating,
right,
and that is all they ever want.
Right.
Like, they get 5 pieces of candy. They're thrilled.
Right.
And so it's just,
it's probably because our daughter has taken on the tradition of very little sugar in their diet. So, you know, so it's kind of a big deal. So what happened? So I told you where we were when the kids were little. And then again, as they got a little bit older, we did harvest parties. We never actually did Halloween. And then the kids got to be all teenagers and beyond. And the other thing I want to point out is we lived out in the country. Like, we were in the middle of Timbuktu, so nobody came to our door. kids would forget that that was a night that people went door to door because they never saw it. It just, mm-hmm. it was just out of our line of sight and not a big deal to us. But then we moved into town, and I think all of our kids were either, I think our youngest was almost a teenager at the time. He was like 12 or something. So all of them were old enough to, you know, to understand, you know, okay, Halloween's not a great holiday. You know, they got all that because we've had those conversations in the history of the holiday and all of that. But several of them were like, hey, you know what? I've never done this. I've never dressed up and walked around the neighborhood. Right? Isn't that what you guys said?
Yeah. We, why not just try it and have the experience? I think I was probably like 13.
That's what I remember you guys saying to me. It was like, I'd just like to do this for fun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, sure, go ahead. I had peace about it. I didn't feel any like check or in my spirit or anything like that. And I just said, yeah, go ahead. You guys can go ahead and do that. So some of them went trick-or-treating and others stayed on the front porch while we were handing out candy, and it was their goal to scare the living daylights out of every kid.
Out of the older kids.
The older kids that came up. They wouldn't do it to the little kids because they didn't, I think they took our, you know, the perspective they'd grown up with. Like, mm-hmm. that's a little much for little
for
kids. So they would wait for, like, teenagers to come. And of course, the teenagers love it.
They thought it was hilarious.
Sometimes, even now, sometimes our son-in-law will come over on Halloween.
And hide in the pile of leaves.
In the pile of leaves and just jump up and just scare the living daylights.
We had code words for whether the kids were too little.
Right.
Or whether it was a big kid. And there's certain things we would say. And like how we would phrase, have a good night, or we would just like not say anything at all, which depending on whether it was a little kid or a big kid.
Right.
So that he wouldn't, because he couldn't see, he's covered in leaves, so that he wouldn't pop out with the little kids.
So I think, you know, really at the end of the day, it is really up to the parents. It's mm-hmm. your discretion. It's up to your discretion. You know your children. You know your hearts. I mean, obviously, I think it's worth praying over. It's worth having a conversation about. But it isn't worth destroying relationships over. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if you're really super concerned about something like that, just pray about it. Just pray about it and ask God to bring conviction and knowledge or whatever to a friend who maybe doesn't fully understand the way that you feel like would be beneficial for them to understand. So I mentioned that we did harvest parties. The other thing that has sort of like resurfaced are celebrations from that were actually started years and years and years ago. One is Reformation Day, and that's mm-hmm. actually celebrated on Halloween, October 31st, every year. It started in the 15th century when Martin Luther, who was aggrieved by the activities of the Catholic Church, especially the sale of indulgences as penance, nailed his arguments, and those were named the 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg's Castle Church. And if you don't know the history behind that, that is a wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful turn of events in history that is just, I mean, was just astounding and amazing. And he was so courageous for doing that.
That
so,
was the start of Protestant Christianity.
Exactly, exactly. So it's just, that can be a wonderful thing to celebrate. Some churches even do a Reformation Day celebration instead of a mm-hmm. harvest party, and the kids will dress up like, you know, like monks.
Reformers.
And, or saints or whatever. Yeah. Because November 1st is actually All Saints Day. And that is when we remember the saints and allow the memory of their faith to spur us on to deeper worship and greater service to the Lord. So All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day or Hallowmas, is a Christian celebration in honor of all the saints from Christian history. It also relates to giving God earnest gratitude for the lives and deaths of his saints, remembering those who were well known and those who were not. And in addition to that, individuals throughout Christian history are celebrated, such as Peter the Apostle and Charles Wesley, as well as people who have personally guided maybe guided you to the faith in Jesus, like a relative or a friend. And so that can be celebrated the eve of. So that mm-hmm. could also be celebrated on October 31st. So I just thought I would share just our story, and hopefully it'll give you some inspiration and, you know, encourage you to just sort of maybe think this holiday through a little bit more if you haven't, because some people haven't even questioned it. Mm-hmm. Others struggle with what's the right thing to do, and others are very, you know, convicted. And so I think the point is it is up to your discretion, and that you definitely should have a conversation, moms, with your husbands about this and where you want to go, where you see yourself going with this, and then to pray over all of it. So thanks for joining us today. We're really glad you did, and I hope that you were inspired and encouraged. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you've given us the privilege and responsibility of making decisions when it comes to our children, including how and why or if we celebrate the holidays that happen throughout the year. And so I just pray for every family listening that you would give them wisdom, you would give them clear direction and conviction, and help them to just walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.